Enoch was is actually mentioned in the Bible in Genesis. He was a actually there's a list of like 10 names, a genealogy in a sense, that goes from Adam to Noah. And Enoch is the seventh one mentioned. Who, why he was unusual was the Bible says, well, this person was born, he lived so many years, he had these many kids, or, and then died. But with Enoch, he wasn't died. He was supposedly, he walked with God and was taken up to the heavens. So he was one of the few people like Elijah in the Bible that didn't die, but taken up to the heavens. Now, there was an apocryphal book of Enoch, which was actually, you know, you can actually go out and buy it. It's a book that didn't make the canon of the Bible. You know, there are a lot of books that didn't make the books that we currently have in the Bible, and that was one of them. But it basically told of Enoch's travels in the heavens and the fallen angels and so many different stories, George, that actually we use today in our theology. In fact, the Catholic Church bases much of its theology on angelology, the study of angels, from the book of Enoch and the fallen angels. So it had an effect, but it never made the canon of the Bible. Now, there's a legend that...
And he was the great-grandfather of Noah. Wasn't
yes,
he?
Yes, exactly. And the legend has it that there was a book or language or some kind of communication thing that God gave Adam after the fall. In fact, the legend has it the angel Raziel gave it to Adam. What was this? Was it a book? Was it some kind of communications device? And supposedly that was lost. And then Enoch was giving this information. And then that was lost, and then Dr. John Dee, the 16th century Renaissance mathematician and occultist, was given this information, which we believe was the original book of Enoch, not the book that, the apocryphal book that didn't make into the Bible, but the real book of Enoch that God wanted mankind to have. So that's kind of where Enoch stands, and it's important to keep in mind that there are two separate books we kind of refer to. One is the apocryphal book, which you can actually go out and buy, and one apocryphal book that didn't make it into the Bible, and the other, the lost book of Enoch, which is what I based my books on.
Okay, how do we know he was real, John, and not a myth?
That's a good question, because I believe, again, many stories in the Bible were myths. They're used to teach a theological lesson, so it's not actual history. I don't know if it really matters that much, to be honest with you, because the idea is the material of was the book. It's possible another person received it, and he used the name Enoch. Like a lot of the books of the Bible, they were given pseudonames because it wasn't considered plagiarism to take a famous name as the author of the book you're writing. It gave it authority. So it's possible he was a myth, and it was basically an event that happened that was attributed to him. So we really don't know. We really don't know for sure. It's actually a very good question.
Now, tell us a little bit about your interest in the Enochian magic.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you asked me how did I get from biophysics to Enochian magic,
yeah.
I mean, it's like if you told me I was going to write a book on magic 10 years ago, I think you were crazy. Well, you know, I'm going to say something I think will really resonate with your coast audience. I mean, I've been a seeker all my life for truth, for God, for that nirvana.
The answer.
The answer, exactly. And I actually say started my spiritual search in junior high, if not earlier. I was probably one of the first listeners to Coast back 25 years ago. I mean, why do people listen to Coast? Why do people go out and buy these books? Because I was looking for answers. I was looking for answers from your guests, from books. I probably, in the last 30 or 40 years of my life, have bought every How to Do book on developing your psychic ability, astral projection.
Yeah, me too.
You right. You name it. I was going to say, I bet a lot of listeners can relate to this. The problem was, I really didn't have any gift or natural ability for this, and none of this stuff really seemed to work. And it was frustrating because you get to the point and you say, I give up. But there's that interior drive, that something within you saying, no, continue to search. You will find it. The whole goal in life is to find God, the truth. So I didn't give up. I kept trying and trying until I decided to look. You know, one thing I haven't looked at was magic. So I thought, well, let me try that. And I bought the typical ritual magic books and tried the different things, and you know, nothing again seemed to work. Then I tried something known as Enochian magic, and the books out there about it were very good. In fact, a good friend of mine, Lon Milo Duquette, who actually wrote the foreword to my book, to me, he's one of the greatest Enochian magicians, really helped me with this, and I have to thank him and give him credit. But I took the techniques that were out there, and I kind of stripped them of everything that wasn't essential, things that man had added, not what I felt the magic that was given to Enoch, the original Enoch magic was. So I stripped it down to the original basics and found out that the original power of the magic was called the Enochian call, words that you recite that basically opens up higher dimensions. So, you know, without getting too far ahead, this is the reason I got interested in it and why I wrote the book, because this technique, which I did when I stripped it of all the basics, of all the non-essentials, found out what the true pronunciation was of the Enochian code was. It just ripped open the veil, and I was basically had a altered state of consciousness. I experienced, in my opinion, the presence of the angels, and it was like after 40 years kind of finally saying, my God, I found something that really worked. And the first thing I thought is, I got to bring this out to the public, to others, because there are people like me that have been searching, have been frustrated. I mean, will it work for everyone? Of course not. I bet I'm hoping it would work for many people. I don't think anything's going to work for everybody. So that's kind of how I launched into this strange area called Enochian magic.
When I was younger, when I would hear phrases like that, Enochian magic, alchemy, first of all, with alchemists, I thought it was merely people trying to make gold. And like Enochian magic, you would think of people like Doug Henning and David Copperfield and people like that.
Yes.
Not the case at all, is it?
No, again, make sure that people understand this is not the magic tricks. This is magic in a sense. The true definition of magic was a spiritual technique or process to unite yourself with God, to bring yourself to the higher spiritual realms. And that's what, and there's a lot of different aspects of Enochian magic. I focused on the one area that opens up higher realms and allows you to enter those and communicate with the angels. Now, you know, as a scientist, a lot of people say, well, you know, how do you know it's not in your imagination and subconscious? And it's a very good question. I have been doing meditation, Eastern meditation, since the 1970s. In fact, many years ago, I had a doctor hook me up to a medical monitoring device to see how I could change my physiology. And I was pretty much significantly able to change my EEG, GSR, well, you know, the body physiology, mm-hmm. that pretty significant. I kind of, you know, impressed him. Well, teaching physiology and knowing the feelings I get when the values change, I can pretty much know what's happening when I meditate. The first time I did the Enochian magic, which I made it into a meditation, by the way, it's another change I made to it, I felt my body physiology changed by twofold after 30 or 40 years of meditation, just at one time.